Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Well, to end this year with, I think an appropriate message that will help us all. We're going to Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56, the responding verses you'll find on the screen as we read them together. So it was, when Jesus returned, that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the flow of her blood stopped. But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.
While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.
But when he heard it, he answered him, saying, do not be afraid. Only believe. She will be made well. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping.
And they lifted her, knowing that she was dead.
But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and said to her, little girl, arise. Verse 56 together. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, today we're going to learn something about when we think we're at the end. Lord, there's so many times that we've given up. There's other times when we labor the best way we can. But only thing that will change our situation is a touch of when we touch Jesus or when Jesus touches us. In either case, Lord, it takes care of that insoluble problem. I pray today, God, that the faith of the Holy Spirit would be in this house today, and the people who have wrestled with various things in their life, I pray that, God, that today would be a game changer, as it were. Holy Spirit, be and direct this service, we pray, all these things in the matchless name of Jesus, and all God's people said.
Amen.
My subject today is dead ends that lead to new beginnings. Come on, give the Lord a big hand for that, because that's what we're going to talk about today. What's amazing about it, you know, at the end of the year, you know, as this year draws its end, we have an inventory of events, financially related transactions that yield little or no benefit. Or perhaps a better but not so prevalent phrase that's used is, it led to a dead end. It didn't get anywhere. Well, it may surprise you that Jesus did most of his amazing miracles when people had come to a place where they had exhausted all their resources or inherently knew that there were no other alternatives to resolve their problems. Anybody like that today? Come on, wave your hand. The rest of you can stay in your miserable state. Because there's some things that we're going to, oftentimes I give you, read questions to you, and I'm going to get a response from you today. Rather than you kind of sit there, that sounds interesting. No, watch this. Have you ever reached the point in your life where you are willing to admit that you don't have the answer to your problem and are willing to trust Jesus with your whole heart? Now, you can answer either yes, no, or nothing.
Yes.
Yes. Other folks can sit there in your silence. We'll convince you later on, okay? Number two, have you exhausted all your efforts to garner success on your terms and are willing to submit to divine intervention? Oh boy, this is going to get good pretty soon. Number three, are you willing to put all of the things that would cause you to doubt aside to believe Jesus for the miracle he wants to do in your life? I said, put it all aside. He said, I've never done that before. I mean, what if it doesn't happen? I'm going to deal with that, okay? But are you willing to put it aside and say, Jesus, you're the only one who can do it. And if it means putting the stuff aside that's not working, that's a pretty good deal. Because it hasn't worked up until now. You have nothing to lose. Because your plan has not worked up to this point anyway. Someone will get that in about 5 minutes, so we don't have time to wait. Well, let's go through this. We must be willing to invite Jesus into what looks like a dead end. If you go back to verse 41, this is interesting. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And the reason why I want to go back to that verse is Jairus is a fellow in the temple. He has prestige. People just kind of revere him because he's one of the leaders as far as it's concerned. But you know something? Prestige will not heal you. A good physician cannot do the things that many times we need to have done. It doesn't matter. There are people who have PhDs and such like this, and they're still suffering from the maladies that some of you, that Jesus has healed you from. So you may have a particular denotation behind your name, doctor or PhD or whatever else, but it doesn't mean that your life is problem-free. And so that being the case, when this thing happens, all of a sudden he realizes that Jesus is coming by, and he's heard something about Jesus. He says, you know what? If anybody can do it, Jesus can. Because I've heard some things about him. I want to tell you right now, Jesus is the only one who can do it for some of you. They haven't got the technology, nor do they have the discoveries to even address your issue. But amazingly enough, God's going to do it. Well, we must be moved beyond what we believe to be our status in life, to connect with the power of Jesus to intervene on our behalf. Now, pride is the greatest obstacle that we must overcome in order to witness divine intervention into things that we deem hopeless. Some of you are too proud to admit you're pitiful. So why'd you put pitiful in there? I could have admitted something else, but pitiful, that's just not me. Really? Does a word like pitiful mean that at that particular point you say, well, I'm just not going to own that? Well, but you act pitiful. And you look pitiful. If it acts like it looks like, it probably is. But not being the case to a debate with words, but it's amazing how sometimes our status of who we think we are, we're not who we really think we are. We experience dead ends when we come to the place of acknowledging there is nothing else that we can do. And what about this? The sooner we realize that he is the only hope, the better off we'll be. Amen. And that's a pretty amazing thing. Well, we must make the choice to move beyond doubt to apprehend faith to meet our needs. And we're going to talk a little bit about doubt today because some of you have realized or even thought that doubt, in essence, is a sin. Anybody believe that doubt's a sin? Well, it's okay to vote like that. I want to tell you you're wrong, but that's okay. Doubt is a place where you have not discovered what God can do. So your doubt is taking the place of what the discovery that God wants to show you, that what you doubt, he's able to do it. But you haven't experienced it yet. So doubt just kind of goes, oh, I doubt if that'll ever happen. Ever have something happen that you never thought would happen? Yeah, I know that has two sides to it, good and bad. But today we're going to look at the better side of what the Holy Spirit can do beyond our, what's that word they use, reasonable doubt? Interesting. Well, when we are truly desperate for Jesus to intervene, doubt must take a back seat to faith. Because think of it this man. Here's Jairus. He has his daughter who is 12 years old, and he's just desperate because but whatever the symptoms were that she had, perhaps he had seen someone with the same symptoms, and the end result was death. And so he'd heard some things about Jesus. He's saying, if I can get to Jesus, and he's healed people other than this, that my daughter's going to be okay. Forget about my position in the temple. I'm going after Jesus. So there's some things you need to forget about, and you need to run after Jesus today. Put all the other stuff aside. Well, the prognosis of what happened must not of what could happen must not interfere with the pronouncement of who rules the universe. When Jesus consents to come, we can be assured of a miracle. Now, as you've read the story, you kind of look at some things that happen that are in between the time of when Jesus says yes and the time that he gets to your situation. And I believe there are people sitting in this room right now that are in that transition period. You know that Jesus said yes to something, but it seems like he's got distracted or he's forgotten about us. And so we're just kind of waiting, hoping that he doesn't, you know, it isn't too late before he gets there. I want you to marinate on that for a moment, because in that waiting period, that's when doubt takes over. That's when you kind of lose hope. What about this? Faith is not the absence of doubt, but rather the means to overcome it. It's not the absence of doubt. It's the means to overcome it. He said, well, I got to have faith. He says, if you have faith of a mustard seed, that's pretty small. But that little bit of faith can overcome doubt. You say, I just don't see that because it seems like it's so big. Ever have something done that you thought never could be done? So why are we doubting him now? We're going to explore a couple other avenues in just a few moments, I think, that will help you. Well, when we ask the Lord to come with us, doubt will automatically hitchhike along with us. Because let me take you back to the day when you first gave your life to Jesus. When you first gave your life to Jesus, many of you were excited. Said, oh, I found Jesus, I found the Lord. He forgave all my sins and forgave me all my drug and all my partying and this type of thing. And guess what? A few weeks later, your buddies came over to you and said, let's go out and party. And he said, Jesus is my life now. I really shouldn't do that. And you know what happened? You went out and partied. Oh, let me tell you the truth. And you know what will happen at that particular point? You will doubt that you were ever saved. Is that not true? Because the devil will cause you to disbelieve what God has done in your life. And you will measure your behavior based upon your inability to trust what you told Jesus he could do in your life. Your behavior overrules what Jesus has done. He says, if you put your faith and your trust in me, at the moment that you feel the least capable of doing it, I can take you through that. We're going to take back from the devil the empowerment that's been given to him, that he's able to overrule I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto them against that day. The day that you don't believe is going to happen. The day that you believe you've got to return back to the thing you had before, God's going to help you. Well, facts of what is occurring will not be erased, even though we have asked the Lord to be with us. In other words, even though it's been a time frame, God's still going to work it out. Jesus will never agree to come into a situation if he's not going to respond to what he's been asked to do. Jairus says, please come over to my daughter. She's 12 years old. She's about to die. And Jesus takes off with him. What, to do a funeral? Huh? Or did he go with him to take care of the situation? Now, you've already read through the story. You're seeing, you find out it has some pretty interesting things that happened. But I want to let you know, when Jesus has committed to go with you, regardless of what comes up along the way, he's going to do what he came to do. Amen. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Well, what about this? When we choose to believe in Jesus, we must allow our faith to produce patience with the mystery that is not easily explained. Why didn't it happen by now? And some of you are sitting in that place right now. Well, Jesus said he's going to save my children, but they're still doing bad things. Why hasn't it happened by now? I cannot answer that for you, but if he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And you need to align your faith with what God said and not with what you see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. You may not see it yet, but God hasn't forgotten about what he said he's going to do. Well, even when it appears the Lord has forgotten our request, he's still working on our behalf. A dead end may seem to come up when things don't seem to go the way that we thought they would or should. How does that work? We must allow our faith to hold on to what we believe about Jesus and his presence with us working on our behalf. Now let's go to another place. Jesus is available to meet us at the place when we thought it was over. Well, Luke chapter 9, verse 38 through 40. This is interesting. Chapter 9, 38 through 40. And he says, suddenly, a man from the multitude cried out and said, saying, "Teacher, I implore you, look my son, for he is my only child." Isn't that interesting? A couple only child situations. "And behold, a spirit seizes him, and suddenly he cries out, and it convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with greater difficulty, bruising him. So I implore your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Wow. Wow. I want to talk to you for a moment about heartbreak. Heartbreak seems to affect us the most when it is with children. I know. I mean, I have children and grandchildren. And great-grandchildren. I am old. In case you're doing the math, I am old. But anything affects any of my children, grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, it affects me. And so I can kind of empathize. He says, "Jesus, I don't mean to complain. My son's been going through a really hard time, and the devil gets on him, and he's trying to kill him. But I took him to your disciples. I did what was prescribed, because I understand you were given a commission to give them authority, but they couldn't help him. I need your help." Well, Jesus will meet us at the road that we thought would lead to a dead end, which means this. Many times we will do our best to resolve things without the direct influence of Jesus. Ever tried that? Say yes. You saw an ad on TV. You saw an infomercial. That's going to help you develop those rippling abs. The machine is now a laundry holder. You know what I'm talking about. Because it takes part. Well, I'm going to leave it alone because I could get crazy, but I'm going to leave it alone. But you tried a particular method and it didn't work. Prayers that are said in faith are powerful when we realize that Jesus is a healer. Jesus is concerned about our emotional desire to keep us from losing, you know, the whole treasured situation that we're facing. But the still thing about it is hard to deal with. Well, he understands when our belief is has given in to the dead end of doubt. Mark 9, 23 through 24. Let's see what that has to say. This is the same story, but this kind of takes it up in a different perspective. "And Jesus said to him," this is the same man who had the same problem, "if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.'" All right, which is it? Do you believe? Then if you got your unbelief, that discounted your belief, you ain't nowhere. Or is there a place that God can allow us to believe in him in a, to a particular place, but unbelief takes over in what we have not, we have yet to experience? I want to tell you today is going to be a day of experience for some of you of, that you've never had before, because you're going to be believe, you're going to believe beyond your unbelief. How's that work? So how do you do that? Stay tuned, because it's going to happen. Okay. He says, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. That's what Jesus' response is. But here's the story. He says, if in our belief system often gives way to the doubt of previous disappointments. That's where doubt comes from. You want to know where doubt comes from? The times that you trusted, you believed God to have it happen, and it didn't happen. And you know what it does? It puts in the storage account of doubt that, I guess Jesus doesn't do that. I guess Jesus can't do that. And unfortunately, many of us in our doubt account, it is filled with unfulfilled promises or things that were disappointing, and so that's what overrules the fact of what God may want to do in your life today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm here to empty your doubt account. I'm here to take away from you that which has caused you such misery and pain of saying, well, I know that Jesus can do these things, but you know, I've tried before and I've prayed before and I fasted before and nothing happened, so I guess he's not going to do it. Well, hold on for a second. Doubts do not disappear, but they must be confronted by things that we have yet to experience. You haven't experienced it yet, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. So what does that mean? Faith is not the absence of doubt, but it's the means to overcome it. I want to repeat that to you. Faith is not the absence, but it's the means to overcome it. I want to install with you faith today that says, what? Why is it I can believe today what I couldn't believe 2 weeks ago? Because somehow the supernatural ability of the Holy Spirit says to you, you know what? Today is your day. Some of you say, well, this is just the last day of 2017. What's going to make it different than any other day? Because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you right now saying, you know what? What you've been longing for, what you've been trusting God for, he's going to do it for you today. And nobody else may even feel that. But God's going to do it. Well, here we go. Our life experiences will often influence our ability to believe or trust that we will experience relief or deliverance from an issue. Now, here's the one. The woman that Jesus encountered on his way to heal the child had 12 years of unfulfilled hope, believing that it was only a matter of time and money and she would be made well. Now, remember we started out, Jesus is going from to Jairus' house, 12-year-old daughter. Now, this is kind of interesting. 12-year-old daughter to be healed, woman with issue for 12 years. Coincidental? I don't think so. You have a child that's 12, about to die. You have a lady that has dealt with an issue for 12 years. Okay. But plugging those things into the math equation, whether you've been 12 years of misery or on the particular day you're about to leave here, it doesn't matter. Jesus can still deal with both of them. They're not a problem. Because you say, I've had this thing for so long, I don't think God could ever help me. But then something strikes you, they say, you're going to die before the end of the night. I'll tell you what, Jesus can take care of both of them. And they're both gone. I kind of wrestled. I said, well, Jesus, why do you put two things like that right beside each other? He says, to let you know I'm God. 12 years long, going to die in a little while because she's 12 years. I can deal with both of them. So your situation is not unique. God is able to handle your situation. It's not a problem. So here we go. So we're about to dive into this. The interesting other thing about the lady who was going to touch Jesus, she hit a dead end that for 12 years she tried the best she could. And the Bible says she spent all of her money and she still didn't get well. Here's a question for you. Are you done yet? What does that mean? Are you done looking for something and spending all your resources realizing you've had the same result every single time. Are you ready to really trust in Jesus? And it's amazing how this woman does this. There's something that changed in her spirit, and it will change in yours today. I believe it's even going to change now as I'm speaking. Because the thing that will make a difference is that even though she spent all of her money, even though she's out of money, that's not the issue. The issue is that somehow she sees Jesus coming by, and this is what she says. I wonder, are you ready to make a resolve? If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to get well. I want to tell you where that faith comes from. It comes from the Word of God, where God is speaking to you right now, says, you know what? You've gone through misery for a long period of time, but today is your day. And the Holy Spirit is speaking that to several people right now, that today is the day that things are going to change in your life. Oh, I don't really deserve that. I know you don't deserve that. That's not the point. But Jesus says, I want to do that. And when you touch Jesus, it's amazing. He acknowledges that, and other people will know as well. Well, when we reach the end of the road, we will come to a resolve where faith in Jesus will overcome the doubt of natural reason and rationale. Matthew chapter 9, verse 21. Let's pick that one up. For she said to herself, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Now, would you put that in a practical sense right now? Just stop with me for a moment. What will it take in your mind, in your spirit, for you to say, well, if I could only touch this portion of Jesus, my addiction propensity will be done?
Well, that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. That's just not able to, you're not able to do that.
I'm going to show you how wrong you are. I want somebody to raise their hand today, if indeed this happened, that Jesus touched your life and took your addiction away. Turn around, look at those hands. Jesus was the one who did it. Come on, you ought to be more excited than that. He said, how did he do that? He's all powerful. He's Almighty God. Wow. Incredible. Well, again, faith is not the absence of it, it's a means to overcome it. So let's delve into this a little bit further. She said, I shall be made well is a declaration birthed by the power of the Holy Spirit that touches Jesus in a supernatural way, which means the light of Jesus shines in the darkness, the darkest part of the shadow of death. Remember the scripture in Psalms? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Now watch this. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But here's the part. Don't rush through it so quickly. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I want to tell you something. You are walking through the valley of shadow of death every day of your life. Amen. The devil will try on his best day to take you out. And the way he takes you out is a word called doubt. God's not going to help you. God's not going to save your marriage. God's not going to save your kids. And all of a sudden you start, no, but it's got to happen. And we get all panicked, we get all stressed out. But I'll tell you what, in the valley of the shadow of death, and the devil says, I'm going to do this. He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to walk with you when it seems like it's not going to happen. You don't need to look to the right, to the left, to keep your eyes on Jesus. Well, how about this? Doubt is not a sin, but it's room for faith to grow beyond fear and disappointment. Those of you who thought, oh, this feels so bad. I just don't believe God can have it. Now, let me help you with semantics. Doubt and belief. Unbelief, same thing? No. You got to believe or you unbelief. Unbelief is a basis of disappointment on what you believed it didn't happen, so now you don't believe anymore. Oh? Some of us are victims, or shall I say self-appointed victims, of situations that we thought, because of our intellectual capacity, that certain things would happen, they didn't happen, then all of a sudden, I don't believe any of that stuff anymore. Really? Let's finish this. Doubt is often based upon what we think we know. Who told you that? Okay, let's go back to the garden. Adam and Eve are in the garden. Serpent comes up. You shall not surely die. Well, God told us not to eat of you shall not surely die. I want to tell you where doubt comes from. When you exchange what you know God said for something the devil told you. Because God said, the day you eat from the tree, you will surely die. He says, you'll not surely die. And you know what? Next thing she knows, she finds herself picking up. And I told you what that fruit was. I told you. I hope you haven't forgotten. It's a pomegranate. It's a pomegranate. I'll tell you why it's a pomegranate. Because God will make it difficult for you to sin. You got to want to sin. You got to peel that thing and eat one of the little seeds one at a time. Get a little squirt of juice, feel like you got something. You will work yourself into sin. It was a pomegranate. Anybody says, it was a pomegranate. It wasn't an apple, it was a pomegranate. In Jesus' name. But you shall not surely die. And when you start believing the lie of the enemy, you are a setup. Because if God said, don't do it, don't do it. But here's the other side. If God said to do it, do it. Do not consult with the flesh, but rather the spirit. Well, I'm almost there. Doubt is often anchored upon feelings, our feelings or emotions. Well, I just don't feel like it's going to happen. I said, something inside of me says it's just not going to happen. You had indigestion because you ate too much. It has nothing to do with it. Too much of pizza. Too much of ravioli. Too much of spices. That is your problem. It's not a Jesus. It's a too much. I got to move on. Doubt looks at what appears to be a dead end and there is no way out. I want to talk directly to some folks. I just have a few minutes left right now. And do not raise your hand right now because I don't want you to, because it'll just glorify what the devil's trying to do. But there are people sitting in this room right now that are at a dead end and you don't see any way out. And you came to church this morning not even expecting to deal with the dead end, but the fact is you learn to live with it. It has become your norm. And you say, well, if I have to ride out the rest of my life like this, I guess it'll be okay. The devil loves that because it doesn't give room for the Holy Spirit to do his work. Here we go in the last little portion here. When we come to the end of the road, we're really at the beginning. Let's go back to Luke chapter 8, verse 48, just the one verse there. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. That's going to be somebody's report today, but this is how it works. When it comes to the end of the road, we must resolve three principles that will never change. One of you have heard a lot. The first principle is this. God is good all the time. That used to wear me out. God is good all the time. God's good. Will you shut up? Until I added the other two that go along with it. Just to say God is good all the time is not enough. That's one. But let me take you to number two. God is with me all the time. It's not like he's up there, he's good all the time, and I'm down here by myself. But God is with me. The word became flesh and began to dwell among us. God is with me. He's just not up there looking down and saying, hope you make it. He is with me. He walks with me through all the problems that I go through. I'm never forsaken. I'm not abandoned. I'm not doing this thing alone. God is with me all the time. Somebody shout and say, that's true.
But wait a minute, I got one more for you. God is for me all the time. God isn't against you. God isn't trying to find something to blow you up. God is for you all the time. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be exceedingly above what you could ask, think, or even imagine. Come on, wave your hand and say thank you, because that's who he is. Well, we must be willing to make the above confessions as the final verdicts over every situation that we face. Really? Not only God is good, but God is with me, but God is for me. Which means this: even when we don't see him, he's always there. When it seems like things are going against us, he's in the midst of a fiery furnace. Let me tell you what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their confession was. O king, live forever. And this is what their testimony is. They're getting ready to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Our God is able to deliver us. But they use three words. But if not, we're still not going to bow down to your image. I want to install "but if not" into your DNA. That even if it doesn't show up the way you think it's going to show up, you're not going to bow to the devil's rules. Even if you don't get healed of what you think you need to get healed of, that God is still with you. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to bow down to the things of the world. We got to have a resolve, folks. Because see, some of you are kind of saying, well, as soon as the Lord does this, then I'm going to trust him with my whole life. Really? Death, or Jesus has no fear of death. Verses 49 and 50. And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, he answered and said, do not be afraid, only believe. She will be made well. Do you see Jesus having a meltdown? She's dead. What do you mean she's dead? I came to heal her. What am I going to do? He says, what? Don't be afraid, only believe. She'll be made well. That's not nonchalant. That's when you're in control. You've got power. When Jesus shows up on the scene, it is to finish what he promised to do. That's number one. Jesus answered fear and doubt with belief and a declaration of faith in his words. He says, no, it's going to be okay. Not only that, our belief must find its confidence in what Jesus has spoken to us in the beginning. I will go with you. Doubts don't disappear, but they must wait on things that we'll experience later. I want to talk to you that are in the waiting period, where doubt has kind of got you waiting to when's it going to happen. Don't feel bad about that. Please don't. I can give you these things that will support you. We must overcome the feelings of doubt that Jesus has forgotten about our situation. We must not allow circumstances to delay or to hijack our faith in believing it's too late. Or fear must not be overcome by belief that Jesus has declared. Now here's how it works. Jesus put the people out that refused to believe this was not a dead end. Listen to me right now. There are people you need to put out of your life that are keeping you from believing what Jesus told you. Oh, I don't know about that. You know, things are different than they were then. You know, you just can't expect God to do everything. No, I wouldn't worry about that. You know, let me give you, and they've always got some advice for you. You need to watch Dr. Phil. He can help you. Jesus. He puts it outside. All of those who doubted Jesus' words were removed. Get the people out of your life that don't believe what Jesus said. Get them out of your life. Oh, she's a lovely person, but she don't believe what Jesus is saying. Get her out of your life. Take her off your speed dial. Thank you. Okay. Jesus spoke the words that awoke her from her sleep, and he brought death to an end. I put three things up here for you to consider. Would you put those three things up there? The first one first. God works in the dark room of your life where things can develop. When I was at Benson High School, I worked in the photography department. That's back when they used to develop film the way they did back then. The old school way, you know, you had to go in the dark room and da-da-da. But he works in the dark room of your life when things are the darkest. But that doesn't mean nothing's going on. He's just developing character in you. And when you emerge out of the dark room, there's a full-blown picture of what your life's going to look like restored to the way God wanted it to be. Don't doubt in the dark room that God do his work. Give me number two. Every doubt is a doorway for Jesus to show himself in a new and more powerful way. Doubt is a doorway. Worship team, you can come back up here. It's a doorway. It's not a dead end, it's a doorway. And God wants some of you to walk through that doorway today to apprehend things that he has for you. But here's the last one. We must push through the fear of lack of understanding of all the details of the miracles God is about to reveal. Some of you are in a place of lack of understanding of what God may be doing or want to do in your life. But I want to tell you something. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that God's not going to do it. He doesn't give you a full-blown picture of what it's going to look like. But the faith that he wants to apprehend in your life today is insurpassable by anything. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to deal with some dead ends today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to have some real sheer, direct honesty from people who would say, you know, I never thought I'd be in a situation like this. And honestly, I've given up hope to thinking that things are going to change. Maybe you've gone through a treatment program. Maybe you've gone through a lot of counseling. And now you're at the place where it's a dead end, it's led to nowhere. And the only person who can help you is Jesus. When you walked through those doors this morning, you had no idea that we'd end up in this particular place, but I want to speak some hope into you that somehow God has installed in your heart today the faith to believe that God can do that which is deemed impossible. I want to talk about two things. Because these two different people with 12 years, one was a 12-year-old and one was been dealing with something for 12 years. The 12-year-old child died. And something within you died recently that God wants to bring back to life. There are people that are kind of laughing at you. And matter of fact, you're going to have to push past those folks that are saying, it's over, just move on. But Jesus says, I can restore life to something that you feel has been dead. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now to something that you know is dead, but you're trusting God, he's going to bring it back to life. Lift that hand up high where I can see it and put those hands down. Now let me move on to the next group of folks. There's those of you who have suffered for a long period of time and you've used every resource you could get your hands on and you're out of resources. It may be money, it may just be out of referrals. But something within you says, if you can touch Jesus, he'll respond to that touch and he will magnify back to you that it's now able, you're now able to live like you've never lived before. This malady or whatever it is that's kind of excluded you from other folks will now bring you back to the place of normalcy so you can live your life like you've always wanted to live it. If that's you today, I want you to lift your hand and say, I trust Jesus to do that in me today. I couldn't believe that until now. Lift your hand up high and say, I want my life back. I want my life back. Lift it up high, I want to see it. I want my life back.
put your hands down. I'm going to pray, and then at the end of my prayer, we're going to sing the song, Lord, I Believe in You. And those of you who believe that's going to happen, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. And Jesus is going to do that very thing that we're asking him to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, those things that were dead, that were declared dead, and people have even scoffed that we would even try to even think it could be resurrected. Lord, we've cleared the room of all the skeptics, and we're believing you to bring back to life something that was premature in death. God, we believe you to do that. And Lord, secondly, for people who have used every resource they could get their hands on with no result, they're reaching out to you today to touch your garment, the hem of your garment. And Lord, we believe in reaching out to you that you'll acknowledge the fact you've been touched and you'll declare us healed, made whole, and made well. We believe that in Jesus' name. Everyone stand to your feet. Those of you that lifted your hands a few moments ago, make your way to this altar. We want to pray for you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.